Well, happy Sunday morning. Thank you. Yes, thank you. You have a good Thanksgiving. Yeah. Carrying the weight of it. Well, I guess that could be taken a few different ways, can't it? Now, it is good to see you, and the Lord has laid a message on my heart out of the book of Proverbs this morning. I want to talk about iron sharpening iron. And this is found in Proverbs 27:17. As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. You know, the culture in which we live prioritizes and sometimes idolizes comfort. We like comfort and comfortable living. We like our coffee smooth. We like our bed soft. We like our friends agreeable. We even like our shoes comfortable. I've got Skechers on for that reason. Amen. But we're a comfortable lot of folks, and thank God for it. I imagine you enjoy those cushion seats you're in. I remember growing up on hardwood benches that would pinch you if you didn't get up and down. If someone's heavier sitting next to you and they sit down before you do and then you sit down, then they get up, well, I'll leave it to that. But it could be very painful. But we like comfort. But God is a God of comfort. So there's nothing wrong with being comforted. God will send comforters into our life. He's even placed one within us to live there, the Holy Ghost, our comforter. But God also sends sharpeners into our life. People who will challenge us. You know, sometimes when you're in a pit, there's some folks, they'll just jump down in the pit with you and comfort you, and that can have its place. But there's times you need somebody that will just anchor themselves in what's so and what's true and reach down there and help pull you up out of the pit. We often interpret agreement as love. But sometimes we do things that people can't agree with. Sometimes other people do things we can't agree with. Life has its times of being irritable. And God can be involved in all of that. All of us understand that sometimes we change because of pain. I mean, sometimes pain can create a lot of change very rapidly, can create create momentum in your life. If you need proof of that, just sit down on a thumbtack and see how quickly things will change. You'll start moving. You'll move upward, right? So we're going to talk about iron sharpening iron today. We're going to look at this scripture, and I've got four statements I want to make. I want to share with you, wrap some teaching around those statements. And the whole purpose of today is for us to be open, honest, and humble with our friends so that when a friend wants to speak something into our life that we really need to hear, we can hear it. And we can receive it. And we'll be talking about that, what that looks like, how we might want to do that. But the goal really is being able to recognize those times when God is trying to speak through someone else to help us. So a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. That shows us that God can use someone else to speak into our lives to help us. And notice it says the life of a friend. This is someone you've got a relationship with. Now, before I step into these four statements, I do want to do just a brief clarification. There are some areas that we expect people to be setting us straight. Employer-employee relationship. You expect your boss to tell you what you need to do and what you don't need to do. I mean, that goes with it. Your payday is kind of contingent on that, right? If you're, say, in sports and you got a coach, everybody that's ever played sports realize the coach can get in your grill and tell you, no, you did this wrong. You need to do this. This is going to help the team if you'll start doing this. You're going to be warming the bench if you don't. And we expect that. I mean, you accept it. It's just the way it is. The relationship between parents and child. The parent is to govern the child, not the child governing the parent. The tail doesn't wag the proverbial dog. And so that's expected, that the parent will speak, give direction, even commands into the life. And a wrong way to do it. So, but today, we're talking about in your friendships, the people who know you best, the people you've shared your secrets with, shared your heart with, people you really get along with well, those times when they come to you and say, listen, I love you. This is not about you. It's just about something you're doing. Or it's about something you're believing. And I have a concern. Can I speak to you about it? I'm talking about those situations. Because sometimes it can be the most difficult to receive from those people. Because you know them so well. Let's talk about it. Iron sharpening iron. First statement I want to make is this. Face to face at the right place. If we need to speak into a friend's life, or if a friend is going to speak into our life, it's always best to do it face to face. The scripture even tells us this. If your brother has aught against you, go to him. You know, and then if it can't get things moving, then you involve other people, the church. Now that's about if you're offended about what somebody's done. But the principle's still the same. Some things you don't want to do publicly. You don't want to embarrass a friend in front of other friends about certain things. You want to talk to them privately. Why? Because in a public setting, the wall's going to go up quickly, they're going to be defensive, and they can't hear what you're trying to say. That's on you for sharing it in the wrong place at the wrong time and so forth. So notice Proverbs 15, verse 28, it says, the heart of the righteous studies to answer. But the mouth of the wicked pours forth evil on all the social media platforms. We could add that, couldn't we? But there's a difference there between someone who's concerned, they're studying about how to present this, they're praying about it. Maybe it's not easy to do. So in other words, there's some forethought, there's some prayer, there's some background, there's some thinking through because you love your friend. You care about your friend. But you love them so much, you're willing to risk the friendship to help them. You are weighing where they are in their current state and what they're doing against where they might be in their future state if they don't quit doing it, if they don't make some changes. And I had someone just recently share about how they had to go to someone that really had an issue in their life that was becoming an addiction and having to confront them. And you can have that attitude, well, it's none of your business what I do. But it's your friend. They love you. They realize if you don't stop doing that, where you're going to be 10 years down the road. And they're willing to lose the friendship to save you. And it's important that we understand, if we're talking about a friend, someone that loves, and neither am I saying that, hey, if somebody comes like that, you better, no, you discern it. You pray about it. You weigh it. You get along with the Lord. But don't just dismiss it. The heart of the righteous studies the answer. And what I mean by face-to-face is this: you're not texting it. You're not emailing it. You're wanting person-to-person because you can't hear someone's tone of voice in a text. You may think you're trying to build something up and you're just going to blow it up because you don't know the context, you don't know how much they prayed about it. It's best to be face to face and to look in their eyes and say, I care about you. I'm concerned about, it's not about you, it's about something you're doing or it's something that you're believing. This scripture tells us the Lord will use people to sharpen us up. Sparks may fly, but it needs to be face-to-face at the right place. That's really, really important. Now, listen to this scripture. Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. That's what Paul told the Ephesians. But if you break that apart, Paul is saying that sometimes it's necessary in order to build someone up for you to let words proceed out of your mouth. They don't need to be corrupt. You're not going to curse them out. You're not going to jack them up angrily, but out of the right place, necessary edification, that oikodomeno, that word means to build up. And the word says here is when we do it that way, there will be a grace in the message itself that will help them to step into it and go with it, to obey it. We all know what it's like when someone, or if we get in the flesh and we straighten someone out, it really don't straighten much out. It creates a lot of curves you've got to navigate. But Paul says necessary edification. Like, it's needful for me to share what I'm sensing in my heart to help build this person up. The enemy always... Listen, when God's leading you to do something, the enemy's going to try to come up with ways to sabotage it, for it to be done wrongly, because he knows even the right thing that's done in the wrong way won't yield the results that doing it in the right way would. So, the righteous studies to answer face-to-face at the right place. Second statement. Hand in hand into God's plan. I want you to see the visualization of these. But face-to-face at the right place. Okay, face-to-face. I knew it at the right place, right time, and so forth. And by the way, the countenance of your friend, that word countenance means face. In other words, if we put all this together, as you share this, it can really build them up from the spirit man to experience blessing and improvement in their life. And here, hand in hand into God's plan, it's like the picture here. It's like you want to, I remember years ago I was in a situation, I was with another pastor, and he was having to deal with a situation with a younger man in the church. There were some things that were going on, and he was just creating a lot of distraction in the service. I fully agreed it was the wrong kind of distraction. But the pastor really loved him. And I watched him do this. He went up to them. He actually grabbed him by one hand, put his other hand around him, pulled him in real close, said, "Brother, I need to talk to you about something." And he started sharing with him. And I was there as a witness. He started sharing with him. And the man, you could see he was resisting. He was wanting to break away. But he just held on to him and said, "I love you so much. And I'm telling you this because it's going to help you. It's going to help people be able to receive from you. It's going to help people not to think the wrong thing about you." And I mean, he just loved him by sharing it. And it made the young man so uncomfortable. But before it's over, he loosened up and received the love and went his way. And it really helped him. But he did it hand in hand with what would be what God's best for that person. And that's always our heart. Like, I need to share this with you because this is making me uncomfortable. And it's not about that. I need to share this with you because the current you, what you're doing, is going to interfere with the future you. And this is a problem, and it's going to hinder you from God's potential in your life. So you want the person to realize you're not attacking them personally. It's not about you. It's about something you're doing. It's about something that you're believing. And it's important for us to understand this. So hand in hand into God's plan is iron sharpens iron. So a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. Somewhat you're speaking into the life of someone you care about, someone you love, in order to improve their life, to bring blessing in their life, not to straighten them out, to show them you're spiritually somehow superior, but to help them hand in hand into God's plan. So, let me give you an example. Let's say that you had to have a major heart surgery. And you go to the hospital and the surgeon, and they take you back. They do the surgery. You're in recovery. The surgeon goes out and meets with your family. And he says, okay, the surgery was successful. It went really well. They had 3 arteries blocked. One of them was almost 100%. They would not have lived much longer without this surgery, but they should be fine now. They're cleared out, and they should have years ahead of them. And the family's going to be what? Relieved, happy, grateful, correct? But now, you're in recovery. They bring you back to the room, and then finally, you know, you're doing better. You wake up, and then the surgeon comes by and is going to share the same thing with you. And he shares it with you, and you look at him, you say, how dare you? I'm so angry at you. You cut my chest open. You stuck your hand in my chest, and it really hurts. When I get better, I'm going to let you have it, buddy. Well, that's ridiculous, right? That's ridiculous. No, he helped you. He saved your life. It was uncomfortable. There was some pain involved. But realize he helped align your life so now you can have the joy and blessing of continuing to live. So in a similar way, if the Lord wants to use someone to help you, don't be defensive and attack them. That's important because this scripture tells us there's going to be times, I've had it happen in my life many times when the Lord would use someone to speak into my life, lots of times in my own home. But I thank God for that. She knows me better than anyone else. But our friendship, well, I'm appointing myself the spiritual sheriff because I love pointing out faults and flaws and failures and critiquing and judging people. Some people self-appoint themselves to do that. And what's alarming is they like it. They enjoy it. If somebody's speaking into your life because they want to hurt you, that's red X. That's not what this is talking about. As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. Third statement, face the pain to get the gain. Now we're stepping on into it. Somebody is sharing something that we really need to hear because we don't know what we don't know. There's areas where we're blind and we're ignorant. There can be areas where we're deceived and we're not seeing clearly. When I say we, I'm talking about every one of us. And it's important that we understand this. My role as your pastor is to feed, part of it is to feed the flock of God. And if you come Sunday by Sunday by Sunday and you're never challenged, if you don't feel like there's something that's been, the Holy Spirit's not bringing conviction in some way, I'm talking about over a period of time, that should be happening. We all should be challenged when the Word is taught. Paul told young Timothy, in 2 Timothy 3:16, 17, that passage, he said, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable. In other words, it's good for us. In what ways? It's profitable for doctrine and reproof. Those two things mean to help us know what we should believe and reprove us to identify things that we shouldn't be believing. Then it goes on to say, for correction and instruction in righteousness' sake. That means not only doctrine, what we believe, reproof, what we shouldn't believe, but correction, what we shouldn't do, and instruction in righteousness, what we should do. So the Word, God breathes on the Word to help us when it comes to our beliefs, what to believe, what not to believe, and our behaviors, what to do and what not to do. And even our internal, intrinsic behaviors, what to think, what not to think. Scripture has such power in it. So that's where you hand the hand into God's plan. What's the Scripture say? That's the goal, not to win an argument, but to save a future, to bless a life, to maybe save a marriage, to maybe break a bondage. Because the entrance of His Word gives light. It opens our eyes so that we can see. And sometimes God will use someone else to speak into our lives. The prophetic can work that way. The thing about the prophetic, it's not out of a basis of a personal relationship. It's out of the ministry of the Holy Spirit releasing a word into your life that the Lord wants you to be encouraged by, or comforted by, exhorted by, an exhortation. That's the part that gets into here, yeah, there, that kind of thing. But even the prophetic that God put in the church, it's still in the church because the Spirit is in the church. His gifts are still in the church, and the Lord's still speaking. And He can speak through people in different ways. Today, we're focusing on when a friend comes to you. And I would say, by implication, this is someone that feels led by the Lord to share something with you for your benefit, even though it's hard for them to do. Face the pain to get the gain. Whether you're if you're wanting to build muscle, it takes resistance, right? In life, resistance. We learn through resistance. We learn through painful things, through trials and tribulations and persecutions. That's all through the Scripture. And again, it's not that the Lord is causing these things, but He certainly can use them to make us better, make us more like Jesus. And this should be our goal as parents. It should be our goal in our marriages. It should be our goal in our congregation. And again, we're not talking about everybody going around. Miki and I had a stint of time in a place with some people, with some of the people that really fully believed that's what you did. You went around, you went out, and you pointed everything out that people were doing wrong. Man, it didn't take long to realize, I don't want to sow seeds in this garden. I mean, this is not, if you're led by the Holy Spirit and He's doing it, it'll be good. But there wasn't a whole lot of evidence of that. There's a lot of self-righteousness, humiliating, condemning, judging. And Jesus talks about that. You set yourself up to get the same thing. But when led by the Holy Spirit, sharing in what's necessary for edification out of love, when the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin, it's out of God's love for us. He loves us so much, He doesn't want us to be destroyed by that thing. Just like you wouldn't turn a ravenous dog loose in your house with your kids. Why? Because of the potential for them to be destroyed. You make a difference between the person and the sin. And so it can be painful when we're the ones being dealt with by a loving friend. But we have to learn to weigh it, to pray it, and if it's the Lord, to obey it. It's going to help us. We're going to be benefited by it. And if it doesn't pass those tests, then you just bless your friend, you pray, and you keep it in mind. It may be a timing issue. It could be different things. I've gotten words before, and it's like, I don't see this. I just don't. And 2 years later, like, man, I should have saw that. I should have saw that. Pride. Our pride can be our greatest enemy. Our ego can be our greatest enemy to keep us from receiving what we need to remove the hindrances. Because the pain part is like the sharpening. The sparks are going to fly. There's friction. That's like the subtitle of this teaching that about how friendly friction. That's when a friend, you know, they can be, sparks can be flying. But some stuff is being dealt with. It's being removed. The hindrances are being removed. Now, the best way to live for all this to work is when we really are in the Word, then the Holy Spirit, who is the resident teacher, He's pointing these things out. He's showing us these things. We're seeing them. We're dealing with them in our prayer closet. And we're not having to have folks come to us and tell us this stuff. That's the best thing. The more mature we can be, we become, the more we'll be doing that. And by the way, it's when you endure that you mature. There's going to be some pain. My understanding is when they put you in boot camp in the military, it can be very painful. What you don't hear is this. Okay, recruits, your first 2 weeks are really important. We're going to spend 2 weeks drilling you because we want you to understand the difference in the comfort level between a feather pillow and a memory foam pillow. It's so important for you to learn these things. Well, they don't care about that. They want you to be able to go without any sleep. And sleep on a rock if you have to. Because it's not about making you comfortable. It's about getting you shipshape and ready to fight in war against the thing that would destroy you. And that's where sometimes we need spiritual coaching. We need our boss, our Lord, to speak into our life. And sometimes He sends messengers. Face the pain to get the gain. What are the options? Be offended, be mad, become bitter, or pray it, pray on it, weigh it out, and if it's the Lord, thank them for it and adjust. And there will be times when you may think, I just don't understand this. I don't see this. And the person may just be off. There may be times like that, and a few weeks later you see it. Or there may be times, as soon as they're saying it, you already know. You're right. I realize that. That's true about myself. And I've just let myself slide in that area. And that brings us to the last thing, is to stay humble so you don't stumble. In Galatians chapter 6, I love this passage because it says, brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Amen. Considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Now, this is talking to people who are involved in trying to help someone else. And, of course, here's more of a setting where you have spiritual leaders that are meeting with to help them get back on their feet, because the church is notorious for shooting their own wounded. There's so much fear of man often among people there's not enough courage for someone to stand up and say, I'll help you. I'll walk with you. Because here, where there is repentance, there should always be restoration. And even in our friendships, if you know, maybe you've got someone that used to be here, they used to be at church worshiping with you, haven't seen them in a few weeks, and you've got a close relationship with them, maybe you need to speak into their life. Why? Because if they continue to drift spiritually, and you may find out, hey, they're somewhere else and they're following the Lord and they're serving the Lord, that's well and good. But there may be times like, well, they're a little offended or their feelings have been hurt or they've just gotten busy and the Lord's not a priority. And to speak into their life. Be someone God can use to restore. That means that word restoration, katarizo, to snap into place. So a lot of talking about a broken bone. And they tell us that a bone that's broken and properly healed is stronger than it was before it was broken. God can use the painful things that we go through to make us stronger than we were before the painful things that someone did to you, things you did by your own wrong choices. It doesn't matter. God's power to restore can align, reframe, and refresh and renew, and you can be stronger as a result of it. You may not have chosen it, but you walk through it the way the Lord wanted you to, and you come out stronger. And every parent, and every marriage, and every church, we need to have a heart like this, a spirit of gentleness that wants to help the hurting. So very, very important. And notice what it says, considering yourself. I think it's important that people know that we also realize we can stumble. Let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Oh, I'd never do that. By saying that, you set yourself up to be tempted to do that. This is telling us, even in dealing with people who are in a painful situation that are being restored, that you open yourself up to be tempted. To have something assault your life, attack your life. And this is important. You see, Jesus, he came to save sinners, to heal the sick, to help the hurting. And I understand if someone's hard-hearted and unrepentant, the Bible's clear about that. He who being often reproved and hardens his heart will certainly be destroyed, and that without remedy. That's the person where the Lord keeps trying to speak to them, and they refuse. They harden their heart. They refuse. It's not pleasant things that happen when you're that way. But this tells us it's not pleasant either if we don't handle helping people in the right way. It's a very serious scripture for us, the spirit of gentleness. I remember when I was a teenager, I was on a job site with my dad, building and remodeling. So that was just my summers. A lot of times when school was out for a day or two, I would be with dad at work. And I learned a lot that way. But we were at 10 o'clock in the morning. They shut everything down. We had coffee. And it was real cold. And we had some scrap wood. We had a fire going. And I had backed up. I was about 13, 14, 15 years old. I'd backed up to the fire. And I was warming myself by the fire. And all of a sudden, my dad hollered and grabbed me, pushed me down, and started hitting me on my leg. Because I had been wearing a pair of blue jeans, and back then, you know, that's the 70s, platform shoes, bell-bottoms, had some bell-bottom jeans, and you cut the trim off the bottom and take a pin or a needle and shred the about 2 inches up, and you just had tassels at the end of your pants. Well, I backed up, and those frizzy tassel had caught fire, and my legs were ablazing. And I didn't have a clue it was going on. And my dad shouted, knocked me to the ground, and burned his hands putting out my pants on fire. I didn't even know they were on fire. You know what I didn't do? I didn't jump up and say, I dare you treat me like that. I can't believe you pushed me down. I can't believe you were hitting me that way. Oh, Daddy, thank you. Thank you. Thankfully, I had long socks on and my legs didn't burn. But He was helping me. He was rescuing me from the fire. And there are times when you may not understand, but God is trying to rescue you from the fire. Stay humble so you don't stumble. If you're helping someone, it's important for you to communicate what the fire is. You know, be clear, be specific. You know, I think you're believing this and it's off, or I see you doing this and it's harming you. It's harming other people, and I don't think you're aware of it. And I love you a whole bunch. But I want you to pray about this. It could be a thousand different things. But stay humble so you don't stumble. And again, have the attitude, like, listen, except for the grace of God, there go I. And by the way, can you think of less than 100 times where you got mercy? No, we've all had times when God's so merciful to us, so patient to us, so kind to us, so forgiving to us, long-suffering. He's not willing that any should perish. He doesn't want anybody to end up in the fire. He's out redemptively to help us. And I'm just saying this scripture calls us to realize that there's a right way to do that, and we always need to consider ourselves and realize there may be some sparks that fly, but if stuff's being removed and hindrances are being removed and shackles are being broken and people are beginning to see, that's all good news. Corrie ten Boom, who was a Jewish woman that ended up in the concentration camps, after she was liberated from the concentration camps, she became a very well-known Christian speaker. She would share stories. She went to a prison, and they let her come into the area, kind of the passageway, and there were jail cells way down the way, prisoners behind the bars. And she started speaking. They were hollering. They were shouting. They were mocking her, cursing her. They didn't want to hear what she had to say. She raised her voice and she simply said, "When I was in prison," and as soon as she said that, they said the whole place became deathly quiet. You see, they weren't interested in hearing from this woman, this Christian woman, but when she said, "When I was in prison," every one of them wanted to hear what she was going to say next. There is a place where we remind people, oh, I remember when I struggled with this same thing. I remember when I had to deal with something similar, and let me tell you what God did for me and how God helped me and who God sent and what I learned. Let me tell you, I faced something like that, and I handled it the wrong way, and here's the price I paid. There is that place where we consider ourselves and we stay humble and we hand in hand, face to face, heart to heart. Hey, I'm here in it with you. I'm believing for you. I want to help you. We all need folks to love us that way. And we all need to love in that way, from that place. Paul, who got such great revelation, was a brilliant theologian. God used powerfully. He never lost sight of who he was before he met Christ. He said, "I was the chief of sinners." Oh, God saved him. Oh, he was a torch in the hand of God afterwards. But he never forgot what sin had cost him. Oh, God, help us to be humble. Help us to be able to receive the truth we need to receive when you send it our way. The Bible tells us that one of the signs of the last days is that people will have a desire to find someone who will teach them just what they want to hear. Paul said it this way, they will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. In other words, oh, they're itching to hear what they want to hear. They'll find somebody that'll justify what they want to justify. And that's rampant in the body of Christ today. If you've got a smartphone, you can, whatever you believe, you can find somebody out there that'll give you some support for that. But I encourage you to be a courageous believer. Lord, no one sees me and knows me like you do. Help me to say yes to your truth when it shows up on my doorstep, even if I don't want to open the door, even if I don't want to hear it. Lord, by my spirit, man, I'm saying, I want you to change me. It's going to be uncomfortable for all of us at some point. But we need to be challenged because we need to continue to change to be more like Jesus. And each time we walk through an event or a moment or a conversation or a season where God's dealing with us in this way, if we'll do it the right way, we'll come out stronger. Because sometimes your light will shine the brightest when it seems like things are the darkest. And that's evidence God is at work. And we can thank Him for that. And I decree and declare over your lives as the worship team comes this morning, it is God who is working in you, both to declare over you that He who has begun a good work in you, He is going to bring it to completion. I decree and declare over you this morning that He is going to work all things together for good and His glory, because you are called according to His purpose and you love Him. And I decree and declare over you this morning, as a believer, inside of you, the Spirit of the living God is indwelling. And He is greater, the one who is in you, than anything that's going to come against you, rise up against you, or surround you. The greater one lives inside of you. And I decree and declare over your lives this morning that you are His sheep, His people, and you can hear His voice, and you know Him, and I believe you are going to follow Him, and you can know that no one is going to pluck you out of your Father's hand, because He is greater than all. And I decree and declare over you this morning the entrance of His Word that you've heard is bringing light. And the Spirit of God who indwells you, who encourages you, who is your resident comforter, He also will convict you of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Because your Father loves you. And the plans He has for you, they are good and not evil. They are plans to prosper you and to give you a future that is filled with hope. And I remind you, as we stand together and our prayer team members comes forward, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I decree and declare over our lives this morning as we align, adjust, and receive this word that on a deeper level we will walk in the light as He is in the light. And you and I, we will have fellowship with one another, knowing that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all our sin. We don't have to live in secret from one another, church family. We will love each other through the good, through the bad, and through the ugly. We need that level of trust and transparency to weather the storms in these last days. You need You need a church family on those days when you realize my foolish self has done got myself into some trouble. I'm going to run to my church family, not run from them. We sang it, and it is so. God is love. And sometimes His love is strong and it's firm. And sometimes the sparks fly. But as a result, our countenance shines with the glory of the risen Christ. Because we know to whom we belong. And we know who He is in us, to us, and that He is for us. And will work through us. Father, thank You for Your word this morning. I know this is one of those messages that's amen and oh me for all of us. May we hide it in our hearts, Lord. May we submit to its truth. And may our friendships deepen, our family love only increase and not decrease. And may we be stronger and not weaker as a result of it this morning. In Jesus' name. Now in a moment, I'm going to invite you, if you have need of prayer this morning, we have people up here awaiting to pray for you. They'll love on you, and they'll pray for you. Perhaps you're here, and you're not a Christian, and you think, I want to know this Jesus that I've heard about today. Perhaps you haven't followed Him into the waters of baptism, or perhaps He's leading you to be a part of this church family, or perhaps you just have a burden and you need some prayer. Feel free to come. I do want to ask you to do one thing before I invite you to come. Could we reach and just hold someone's hand best we can? I want us to declare this together. Declare this with me. We are stronger together. We are one in Christ. We are one in His bond of love. We have the spirit of unity and the bond of peace. We are covered by Christ's blood, and we are part of His forever family. May He be glorified through one and all. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we give the Lord a hand? As they begin to sing now, if you have need of prayer, would you just come on up right now? Anyone, you come right now. If you have need of prayer, we invite you to come forward.
I love.
Let Him love on you this morning, whatever your need may be.
I love Your presence.
And as others are making their way to the front for prayer, may God bless you this week. May His grace and peace be strong upon you. And may when people see you coming, may their hearts leap with joy because they see Jesus in you, of our Lord. Be filled with His Spirit. Flow in His gifts. And do His will this week in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for being here. This altar area remains open for all of you who may need prayer. Please come.
I love